Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This, the inaugural episode of Keep Calm and Crown On, is brought to you by Minute with Mary. So, of course, Minute with Mary is a place where you can find all sorts of cosmetics and skincare. But because you're a podcast listener of ours, we like to give you the hookup. And this month, the month of December 2019, I'm giving a discount on my favorite mascaras, my black, my brown, or my waterproof Epic Mascara. That's right. Get any Epic mascara of your choice for 15% off. You can get this discount by going to minutewithmary.com/discount.
Truth may lie beneath the surface, buried, forgotten. But time has a way of uncovering it. One thinks of The Merchant of Venice. Truth will come to light. Murder cannot be hid long. A man's son may, but at the length, truth will out.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Keep Calm and Crown On. It's a podcast dedicated to the crown on Netflix, so grab your best tea, maybe a crumpet, and let's get royal. And welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I am so excited.
You sure are.
For this podcast.
You sure are.
Mainly because, yes, it is the crown. Yes. But let's talk about my real love.
Okay.
I mean, the real love aside from
Mary. I mean,
Mary.
It's me.
But aside from Mary.
Yes.
And this is like a close 2B. Now 1B. I mean, this is, it's right underneath Mary.
Oh,
and that's Tobias Menzies. And you know, for those of you who listen to Outlander Cast, for those who listen to Outlander Cast, and you know what I'm going to talk about here, and I have to play this.
Okay.
Tobias, no matter what he does, deserves a little Whitney. Now, for
even everyone, in Game of Thrones,
even in Game of Thrones, he deserves some Whitney, just because I love him so
damn much. Gosh.
Now, again, for those of you listening to Outlander Cast, you know that Tobias Menzies was part of Outlander the show, and I have a severe man crush on him. So this is only a natural sequel to what we do at Outlander Cast, and I am so fracking excited.
Oh, as am I. So The Crown has been a show that I would watch during bouts of insomnia.
Yes.
Let's be real. So one of the sad afflictions that happens to my anxious mind is I do have just bouts every once in a while where I just can't sleep. And you know what makes me fall asleep?
What's that?
Thinking about like,
the British monarchy,
and the calmness and the grayness of the show, but it calmed me down. It took my mind off of things. It made me realize that things in my life weren't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So
you're definitely not the Queen of England.
Yeah. I loved the show. I loved this show so much. And when I started to tell Blake about it, he was devastated that I watched it without him. But I'd already watched tons of episodes, so he missed out. And then of
not
course,
tons of episodes.
Like, all of them.
The first two seasons. It's yes. It's fine. It's fine.
And since then, of course, we've been watching a lot of other shows. And now the new episode of The Crown has come out. And I asked Blake, I said, okay, listen, I've already watched the first two seasons. As much as I would like to binge watch them all again, I don't have time for it because I need to make Christmas cookies. And he said,
all the Christmas cookies.
Oh my God. Yes. I make like 25 days of cookies. He said, let's start with season three. And I said, the record stopped in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, excuse me. And he proceeded to give me reasonings as to why he is okay right now, because you are going to go back and watch seasons one and two.
Absolutely.
They are phenomenal. But seeing as how we don't have tons of time, winter is coming, and Outlander is coming, so we don't have tons of time to watch all the episodes, podcast about them all, but we are prepared to do this for season three.
That's correct. And we're doing it for a couple of different reasons. We're doing it this way for the fun of it, I think. Well, I mean, first, let's thank the patrons of Outlander Cast and Mary
Seriously,
and Blake
hardcore.
For being able to make this podcast happen. Without you guys, there is no Mary and Blake. There
yes.
is no Outlander Cast. There is no studio in our basement. There's nothing. So this
I
is a thank
nothing.
You.
Nothing.
More Whitney, come on. You know, just for Tobias, I'll play it again.
Okay.
That's my boy, Tobias. Somehow I got a feeling I'm going to hate King Philip. I've got a feeling I'm going to hate him, but that's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. Yeah, thank you to you guys. You guys make it happen. And so this is for you. What?
For some reason, I think I'm going to hate King Philip.
Okay. Some reason I got this. Well, technically he's a prince, isn't he? Yeah, he's a
yes.
prince. At any rate, thank you to all you guys. You make it happen, as always. And we're doing it this way, like as Mary says, because we don't really have a whole ton of time, but mainly because the whole cast has changed, for the most part, in The Crown. And I like the experiment mm-hmm. of being able to watch the show as it exists right now, with this cast doing what they're doing. And it's almost like it's a whole new show. It's almost like that. And can the show stand on its own? Can the show attract new viewers mm-hmm. the way that it might be able to without binging it? Can it stand on its own with this new cast? Do you absolutely need the first two seasons? And this is a fun experiment. I'd like to try and talk about it. So we will not be referencing necessarily seasons one and two in this particular podcast, unless I catch myself up very quickly. but we will be talking about season three.
Okay.
And if we're all lucky and if we're all able to get it done and we get enough interest, perhaps maybe we'll do seasons one and two. And then later on when season four comes, maybe we'll do season four. But in the meantime, you are stuck with us talking about season three and especially the premiere of season three. So, mm-hmm. Marvin, anything else that you want to talk about before we get into this whole episode and before we do the whole thing and do what we normally do here at Mary and Blake Media?
No,
nothing, huh?
That's it. I'm ready to
nothing.
Go.
Yeah, I'm ready to go too. All right, let's get into the show.
So dramatic, Blake.
I know. Don't you like that?
Yeah, sure. All right.
You know, I had a lot of fun with the soundtrack. I was playing with it all day, and I was listening to it in my car all day.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And, you know, the funny thing is that
you.
The...
I just can picture people, like, holiday shopping, stuck on the roads near us. We live in a very shopping-friendly place, meaning all the roads are packed to shoppers right now. And I can just picture you sitting in your car, pretend conducting, because you don't really know how to conduct. You
no,
just
not at
sway.
All. I just
sway. He sways both hands, for my fellow musicians, in two. He just goes back and forth and back and forth and moves his head. And I can just picture you doing it to that song.
What are you trying to tell me here?
Possibly singing off key. I love it. I do, okay, continue.
I'm all about not being on key. The off-key life is the best life.
Well, let's get into the show life.
At any rate, the great thing is that the theme of this of The Crown was actually composed by Hans Zimmer, as a matter of fact.
I would believe that.
And yeah, it's very horny, very horn-blasty, as you just heard. I just realized what I just said there, very horny.
So horny.
Yeah, that one, I deserve that. I absolutely deserve that.
There you go.
Okay. Very horn-blasty. And it actually quite reminds me of a mix between Inception The Tron Legacy soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
Which Hans Zimmer actually was a consultant on. If you get a chance, go watch Tron Legacy number one, obviously, and then listen to the soundtrack. It's even better. And then the rest of the show is composed by Rupert Gregson-Williams, who is a composer who's done a bunch of different movies as of late, including the Wonder Woman soundtrack.
Oh, very good.
And also the Aquaman soundtrack, which was quite good as well.
I did not see that.
But he's also done some really bad things, too. A lot of Adam Sandler movies, like Grown Ups and Jack and Jill.
Don't
That's my
hate
boy.
On Adam Sandler. You know, Grown he's hit or
too.
Miss. Poor thing.
He's been very miss as of late. He's been more miss than hit.
No. Didn't
Absolutely.
He do that Jennifer Aniston rom-com? Didn't that do well?
Yeah, I don't know.
Netflix gave it a 98 for me. I didn't watch it, but it says I would like it.
He also did the movie Hacksaw Ridge and the movie Terminal. And the latest one that I actually quite like is Abominable. He did that one. That's what he did.
All right.
Anyway, so he composed the rest of the music for the rest of the series.
Okay.
It's based off of Hans Zimmer's work for the theme.
Hans Zimmer was like, let me just pick some of my most popular things, put them in a blender.
Yeah,
and then you can work off of that. There you go.
All right, so the episode details, the title of this episode, episode 301, the premiere of season 3, is called Olding. Olding is the code name for the new prime minister that was just elected from the Labour Party, and that was his code name from MI5, which is like the equivalent to, let's call it the CIA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's that. The director was Benjamin Caron, and he has directed many episodes of The Crown, including Scientia Potentia Est, Assassins, Barrel, Matrimonium, Mystery Man, and also Olding. And one of my other favorite things that he's directed is called Sherlock with Benedict Cumberbatch. He did the final episode of Sherlock called The Final Problem.
Oh, you loved that one.
Oh my God, I love Sherlock. And the writer of this episode was, in fact, the showrunner and creator of this episode. His name is Peter Morgan. Now, Peter Morgan is actually a pretty big time writer.
Okay.
And he has directed. He has written rather many things that you would actually know, my love. He wrote what The Crown is based off of, which was the original movie The Queen, starring Helen Mirren.
Okay.
And also he wrote the screenplay to a lot of different movies called like The Last King of Scotland, The Other Boleyn Girl, and Frost versus Nixon, great movie. Mm-hmm. Rush, which was a great movie by Ron Howard. He also wrote the story for Bohemian Rhapsody, the latest movie about Queen and Freddie Mercury. And he's got a whole bunch of stuff going on. So
cool.
He's a quite an accomplished writer. So we normally do our rating system.
Yes.
Now, our rating system usually has to deal with whatever is in the show and some little fun tidbit. I was thinking about doing it on Jewels. Because it's the crown jewels. So how many jewels are you going to give this one? Though I decided, I think, the most apropos rating system.
Okay.
It's cups of tea.
Okay.
Cups of tea. You want tea or jewels?
I was going to go corgis, but...
You want corgis?
I mean, I just like the name.
We'll do corgis.
I don't know. How many corgis are you going to give it? How do you feel about that?
I'm in.
There you go, man.
I'm in on the corgis.
You're welcome.
All right. How many corgis?
This is why you keep me around. You're like, oh, cups of tea. And I'm like, corgis. I'm also the brilliant one that came up with the Damons.
That's right.
for our Leftovers podcast, written by Damon Lindelof. We couldn't think of anything. I said, just give it Damon's.
There well, we go. You know, I thought it was fun because we did You've Been Gilmore'd, we did everything on Cups of Coffee.
Yeah, okay. If you want to do, you know, and then
I can't. You can't start me on Corgis and then walk it back.
How about our friends vote?
All right, yeah. Here we go. All right,
listeners.
So for this episode, we'll call it Corgis because that was a really good one. I like that. Hmm. But if you guys like Cups of Tea or the Jewels or Corgis, you let us know, and that's what we'll do.
The Jewels, just I don't like.
All right, so then you know what? Cups of Tea or Corgis. All right, that's what we'll do. All right, so you got two choices: tea or Corgis. Which one do you want? You let us know in the comments below. Marvin,
yes.
How many corgis are you giving this one?
I'm giving this one a 4.4.
Really?
Yeah.
That's lower than even what I have.
I know.
Now, do you think it's based off of what you've seen before?
Yes.
Or? Yes. Okay. All right. Now, yes. What about this brings it down? I mean, I'm not saying GBG quite yet, but like your first take on it, what brings it down?
I'm a little bored.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough. I get you. It is what it is.
Is this just going to be all like commie fear? If this is going to be a commie fear season, I just feel like I've been communist out.
Yeah. especially after watching The American.
That's why.
It's not about...
We're going to find out. We're going to find out how much of this is going to be... I don't know much about the history of Britain during this time frame, but...
Well, here's the problem. Britain uh-huh. and the United Kingdom and how, historically, it starts to go more and more and more left, like, in terms of, like, its views. Like, so you have... Okay, so in our terms...
Are we getting deep? Should we be saving this for the show discussion since you just wanted my corgi rating?
Yeah, sure. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
So I gave it a 4.4.
Put a pin in that.
Yes. It's not that I was like poo-poo on this. Frequently with shows, to be honest, I wasn't a huge fan of the first episode of the first season. I was kind of bored then too.
Sure.
I think that this is a show, much like Game of Thrones, that for me personally, I know I'm going to enjoy. It is beautiful. I'm enjoying the acting. This set, everything, but I'm just sitting there saying, all right, this train just takes a little while to plot-wise get me hooked.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this as you were saying it. I don't think you're one to like a lot of premieres.
No, I don't.
The only premiere that I know that you liked, like off the top of my head, mm-hmm. was Lost.
I liked This Is Us.
Yes, you liked This Is Us. That's right.
Like season one premiere.
Yep, you did. But that didn't even really kick in until
Outlander.
The end.
I liked Outlander season one premiere. I did.
Yeah.
You couldn't stand the voiceovers.
Oh, God, the voiceovers. Oh.
I mean, I was just so giddy and I loved it. Yeah, I loved that one.
All right. Okay, so for me, I'm giving it a 4.5 corgis.
Okay.
4.5 corgis for me, which I'm surprised I'm higher than Mary on. This show is exquisitely shot, and the lighting in particular is just brilliant.
Agreed.
And, you know, I always say that I am impressed. Like, if you go back to Outlander season one, it was very cinematic. This show is very cinematic. The way that it's shot,
truly.
The way that it's composed, a lot of the framing,
mm-hmm.
it just seems like the people that are directing it know what they're doing.
They do.
And the DPs behind it know what they're doing.
Agreed.
And it feels like there is some budget here. Like, there's a big budget here.
Yeah.
And Netflix isn't playing around. And really, I mean, all kidding aside, The Crown, now that... House of Cards is mm-hmm. gone, and we have what we had with Kevin Spacey. The Crown is, in fact, I think now the crown jewel of Netflix, maybe aside from Stranger Things.
Are you seriously not realizing the amount of Christmas movies they have right now?
Yeah, you know.
The Night Before Christmas with Vanessa Hudgens?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, I agree.
Or Christmas with a View. Not a great movie. Hey, not a great film.
Like, you don't have good standards.
Christmas in the Smokies.
Christmas movies.
Oh,
stop.
Goodness gracious.
All right, okay, all right. Let's go into the GBGs.
All right, what do you got for your good?
My good is I'm just so thrilled with the new cast. I think that it was quite seamless. I think that the you could tell that the actors really studied the previous actors in their roles to continue on with their mannerisms and just the behaviors and how they held themselves. I'm excited. I like the idea that they really gave this whole new, you know, just a big whole new cast redo. It's very, very exciting. That's my good. I am very excited.
Me okay? too. Yep. I totally agree. I get it.
My bad.
Yep.
Commies. Okay.
So many commies.
Artist commie. And and the new guy that she thought was a commie and not a commie. And he is like, I bit off more than I could chew. I did not think this was going to happen. Oh my gosh. And then my great yes. is just the fact that we're doing this podcast.
Oh, you're so cute.
I know.
You're How so you? Cute. You know, it's funny that, you talk about it. It's just something that we've talked about. And a lot of our patrons and a lot of our listeners have requested this podcast. And we kind of fought it for a little bit until we came up with the reasoning of, all right, well, let's go into it in season three. Let's see if yes. it could be on its own. Let's see what it does. And then it seemed to make sense. All right. For me, the good. I really liked the sound mixing in this episode. I really like, especially at the beginning when the first shots of this episode are happening mm-hmm. and the breakfast between Philip and Elizabeth. And you hear the clanging of the forks and the knives.
Yes.
And you could tell that he's getting aggravated and she's eating whatever the hell she's eating. And he's telling the guy to turn up the TV. And even when Margaret is in bed and the phone rings and it's like jarring
yes.
and the cars and everything, the closing doors, the sound mixing for this was spectacular.
Agreed.
Really, really liked the sound mixing. Okay, for me, the bad. It kind of felt like disjointed. It felt like there were two episodes in here and they didn't know what to do.
Okay.
They wanted to get to some thematic things. And part of that is the death of Churchill.
Yes.
And part
R.I.P.
And part of that also is what happens with the art guy, right?
The commie.
Yeah. Part of they wanted to accomplish something with that, but it felt like having the art
Hold
guy
on. Is that a derogatory
a commie?
Yeah,
I don't really think it matters anymore. I mean, it is derogatory, I suppose.
I mean, is it like saying a Nazi? I just want to make sure I'm not being offensive.
No, I mean, because it's an. I mean, even okay.
If I am being offensive, please.
No,
let me
you're
know.
Not being offensive.
I'm not coming from an offensive.
A communist is, in fact, a commie. It's just the slang term for it.
Fine, I'll just call him the art guy.
So if you called me a commie, I would have a problem with that because
okay, I'll just call him
I'm
an
not
art
a communist.
Guy. Maybe a communist does listen to this podcast and they're going
like,
to be offended.
I take umbrage with that, sir.
I don't mean to offend anybody. If it has offended you,
whatever. seriously, if never mind. Never. You know what? I don't want to get in any more trouble than I already have in my life. The bad. So it feels like the stuff with the art guy is just like stilted, like disjointed.
Agreed.
All of a sudden, like this happens, and we're talking about this guy, and this is in an episode where a new prime minister is elected. This is in an episode where. Winston Churchill dies.
Yeah.
And then the final couple of minutes especially are dedicated to what happens to this jabroni and get the title cards at the end talking about how he lived on and did this and that. Like, what?
Seriously.
So I didn't like that. But even though I do think there's some cool stuff to take from this and to take from that story. We'll get into that in a minute. And for me, the great, I actually have a tie. The whole introduction with the Queen and delaying the reveal of her face. Especially at the first few shots where it's just shots from her from behind and shots of just like her neck down.
I didn't even notice that.
Until getting to where she has the stamp and you see her face up against Claire Foy's face and she talks about being an old bat and the whole thing.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
Really good stuff. Plus, I really so far think the show and the writing – has allowed someone like me, who has not seen seasons one or two, to understand the relationship dynamics of the show, especially with the new cast. And I really like that. It allows someone to come in and say, okay, what's the show about?
Like you.
What's going on here? And the writing is simple. Like, a prime example is that first breakfast scene with Prince Philip and the Queen. They're clearly on each other's nerves, and he's turning the TV up or whatever. There is some tension there.
Yep.
There is some cold ass tension.
And you can't swear.
Sorry. And you can see that. You can absolutely see that. And it's just, and the thing with Margaret and her husband and how he's like going off and saying, yeah, I'm not going to sit next to my wife and the whole thing. You get a clear understanding, even with Churchill, you get a clear understanding of how much Queen Elizabeth really ended up respecting and appreciating Churchill and what he had done for the country.
Yeah.
So I really like that. The show is accessible for someone like me.
Agreed.
So what do you got for the rest of this episode, my darling? What do you have? What stands out to you most? What stands out to you that you think you like better or less or equally from this season to previous seasons? I'm so excited I can't even talk.
I know. Well, just the new casting has, as I said, it was so fun to see everybody, to see how they're holding themselves. Princess Margaret. Can she just be like a spirit animal for so many of us?
Oh my God. Helena Bonham Carter.
Couldn't have picked a better person.
I just feel like, and this is probably totally unfair, I just feel like she's a disaster in her real life. Like, wherever she goes, she's like, I feel like in her real life, she's just like waking up with messy hair and like going out drinking.
No,
you don't think so?
I completely disagree.
Why do you disagree? All the character, like, I feel like she's real life Bellatrix.
But that's, I think, why. Because it's probably fun for her to be that. Rather than be like, I'm not acting. I think it's fun. I think she likes to play these outrageous roles. You know, it's just so yummy to sink your teeth into and to be, you know, completely lost Princess Margaret, who's just perpetually pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Perpetually.
Yep. Just constant.
And you know what? I'm just going to get drunk and sing and have a party without you. That's...
While you stare at me through a hole in the wall.
Like, why do you have that hole made?
Like, like, what do you...
Is this like a frequent occurrence, like, that Princess Margaret has these parties that you peep on?
Or not only that, but like, this is something that you just... You actively know where to go when you want to look inside the room.
Yeah.
Like, What are they doing in this room that requires a peephole?
Some Eyes Wide Shut stuff. I don't even know. I didn't even see that movie.
For those of you who have seen Eyes Wide Shut, yes, absolutely. Weird sex parties going on in Buckingham Palace.
Yes. I mean, who knows? Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised. Hey, Prince Philip, he's into that stuff. Clearly, because he's talking about the guy who was the his buddy. Yeah. And they were like, and Anthony Blunt, the art guy, was like, yeah, it would be unfortunate to let that information out, wouldn't it? I wouldn't want that to happen.
Look at you picking up on things.
You know, I don't mess around here, kid.
Good job.
They don't pay me the big bucks for nothing.
All right. How about you get into this, since this is kind of your thing right now?
I quite liked the show. I quite liked the first episode. It leaves me wanting more. And the thing that stands out to me, I think, thematically, and what the show is trying to accomplish, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, because, again, since you've seen the first two seasons, you're dealing with an older Queen Elizabeth. We've gone from, you know, someone who is in her early 20s to now someone who's clearly in her mid, like, well, at least with the way Olivia Colman is in looks to Claire Foy, right? She's in her mid-40s, right? But I think within
the
show...
she's in her mid-40s?
Yeah. But, I mean, within the show, I think...
I think she looks mid-50s, like 60.
Maybe. I'm not sure. We can find out.
I'm so close to being 40, Blake. You think she kind of looks like me?
I didn't say that.
No, I'm just saying.
Let's see. Olivia Colman. Let's see how old she is.
I think she's supposed to be like late 50s.
Well, we're going to find out right now, kiddo.
Okay.
Let's see.
What year is this supposed to have taken place?
She's 45 years old.
No. Yep. In the show or in real life?
In real life, she's 45.
I don't care about real life. I want to know how old Queen Elizabeth is in this first episode.
All right. Well, let me look that up. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
Do some math. Oh, you don't know how to... You're okay.
I know how to do math, you hoop.
Not Common
just keep
Core.
Just keep talking. Not definitely not Common Core.
Okay.
Just keep talking while
so,
I'm doing
well,
this.
I enjoyed it. I agree. You know what's funny is the whole Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth dynamic, how like obviously they're just trying to beat each other at breakfast, and yet then they go and they make their public appearance and they are uniformed front.
Right.
And it's really just such an interesting dichotomy that, you know, there's this couple. I mean, so many couples as they age and just grow apart with things that happen in life, you see them just be curmudgeony with each other all the time. But they have to have a unified front. They have to be the prince and the queen, you know, who are in charge of this monarchy. Yep. So I do find it quite interesting.
Yep, I totally agree.
Have you figured it out yet,
Blake? I'm doing the best that I can here. Okay, so the show takes place in 1964. So Queen Elizabeth right now is 93 years old. She was born in 26, so that would make her 42 years old.
Stop.
That would make her 42.
Stop.
Yep. 1964. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 38.
She's supposed to be 38 in this episode.
Yes, 38.
Poor job.
Well, let me make
Stop.
Sure. Hold on. This is why you don't do live math.
I can't. No. No. I mean, maybe skincare's just gotten so much better now.
Yeah, 38. She's supposed to be 38 in this season. So.
I want to vomit.
The way that it, the
she's
way that
supposed
the,
to be my age, she looks so much older.
So the way that the show portrays it, Claire Foy goes up till 37, and then all of a sudden the next year she turns into Olivia Colman, who's 38. So I mean, there's a pretty distinct difference there. She's been on the throne for 12 years at this point, right? So
that's what I look like.
No, you don't look like Olivia Colman.
No,
you hoop.
I'm just saying she's supposed to be 38 in this season.
Yes.
Stop. No, I do not accept.
Well, what do you want me to tell you? She's 45 in real life. She's supposed to be 38 in the show.
I must know some slamming hot tamales in their late 50s because I would have put money that she's supposed to be at least 50.
Nope, not happening.
Oh, she does have brown hair. When did she go all white? When did she embrace 38?
Yes.
She's got some ma'am hair. Okay. You still got some juice left in you, honey, if you're 38. Come on.
Well, at any rate.
38. My mind is blown.
I bring the whole thing up only because, you know, you're dealing with an older Queen Elizabeth. And I think... You know,
matronly at this point.
Yeah, I mean, show.
God, she's 38.
The show is clearly telling you that the job has aged her, right? And she's wiser. She's a little bit more knowledgeable.
Okay, yeah, that's
she's it. More she's more sturdy in her position, and yet she's also still kind of goofy and out of touch with people and out of touch, thinking that the new prime minister you know, Harold Wilson is a KGB agent, and she just kind of just believes it, right? But I think one of the thematic things the show is doing here, and I give it credit, and they're using the art guy as a tool for this, is the British Empire is slowly... or has slowly become a lesser power in the world, especially after World War II. And the United States has assumed dominance, and it's only a matter of time before the truth outs.
You know what the problem is?
What's that?
I know how old Tobias Menzies and Helena Bonham Carter are.
Okay, how old are they?
Well, Tobias is 45.
Okay.
And Helen is in her young 50s.
Okay.
Okay?
So it all kind
and
of
Princess,
runs together.
No, it doesn't.
No?
Because if Princess Margaret is being portrayed by an actress who's in her young 50s,
okay.
Then Queen Elizabeth is supposed to be older than that.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why I'm so thrown off.
So you're saying you're not a fan of the casting?
No, I'm fine. I just thought that Queen Elizabeth was so much older than me, and I often relate to myself. I relate to characters in This Is Us because they're like my age, and I'm like, oh,
well,
cool.
They're slightly older than you, but yes.
I'm like, cool. I can live this life, and mm-hmm. now I thought she was so much older.
No, definitely not.
It's because of the casting.
You can't get past this, can you?
No, I can't shake it.
This has rocked your world.
Oh, my God. I was ready for her to start going through menopause next episode.
Oh, my God. Are you more shocked that Olivia Colman is only 45?
I don't know, man. I don't even know. I think it's the Helena Bonham Carter supposedly being her younger sister.
Okay. Fair enough.
I honestly think that's what's thrown me the biggest loop. Okay, let's just refresh.
Yeah. Let's.
I'm just going to pretend that she's 55.
So
if she has a baby this season, you won't be able to do it. Okay, continue.
So you said you had some issues with how they treated Anthony Blunt, the art guy, and the whole thing. It just feels like it kind of comes out of nowhere. It feels like all of a sudden it's like a really big part of the show, but it appears, and then it feels like, unless there's a lot of things that are going to transpire because of this, like that it just goes away. Do you feel the same, or do you feel like... And also, do you feel like my thesis about it, about England becoming older and falling from power a little bit and the truth being out, coming out, do you find that to be true?
I don't know. I just see it as setting the stage, and that's why I'm afraid that this is just going to be a communist fear season. But mm-hmm. if that is what's going on, I can appreciate that. I just prepare myself in addition to... Queen Elizabeth not being 50s. Yeah. Anyway, I'll get over it, guys. I'll get over it. I think it's tough because they shoehorned it in. We haven't seen this guy before. And was he just hired this year? Or probably not.
No, he's been around for a while. He's a member of the royal household.
So
he's the curator.
He came out of nowhere. But I also feel like we need to have this big red flag that you can't trust anybody, that it's going to be this new administration coming in, and we've got all this crazy stuff going on in the world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just laying the pieces down on the risk board. So I don't necessarily have a problem with it, but I didn't care.
Yeah.
This is a huge thing for me. I had a big talk with somebody about why I'm not liking The Mandalorian. It's because I don't care about anybody except Baby Yoda. We're only, what, episode 4?
Episode 4.
Show?
Yep.
So, I don't necessarily care about anyone in this cast except Winston Churchill because they're all new to me.
Yes.
Technically, as actors. So, of course, you want to root for the same people, you know, Queen Elizabeth or whoever. But I'm not there yet because I don't know these new people.
Yeah, that's a great dichotomy that you're talking about here because technically they're the same character.
Yes.
But they're not.
No.
They're not at all.
They haven't earned my love yet.
And so that's funny that you talk about it like them, like they're not the same people, because they are.
And had Claire Foy been there for Winston Churchill's death, I probably would have gotten a lot sadder.
So do you think that's why they didn't linger on Churchill's death all that much? Because there just wasn't that connection between Olivia Colman's Queen Elizabeth and Lithgow's Winston Churchill?
I thought they did a fine job giving it lots of time. Because then they also had his funeral.
Yeah, but like Winston Churchill is a gargantuan figure.
He had a lot of time on screen the previous two seasons.
Oh no, I'm sure that he did. and rightfully so. Yeah. It's like FDR. Like literally in the United States. Like FDR is a gargantuan figure in
Correct.
American history. So I in an episode where that kind of figure passes on, I can't believe that they spend so much time with stupid art guy.
But I think that that's it. I think maybe even thinking that new people might be starting the show just in season 3, they don't particularly have the relationship with Winston Churchill. Maybe they didn't study that very long in school, so they don't really care.
Yep.
But what they do need to set up is the worldwide situation.
Absolutely.
And if you've watched the previous two seasons of the show, then you can have your own little morning party for Winston Churchill. Raise a glass. But if you're someone like you, Blake, I mean, granted, you do have a pretty serious historical knowledge. So, you know, you might have wanted a little bit more for Winston. But for the regular watcher,
yep,
they don't need, I think that they did do due diligence, in my opinion.
Without seeing, obviously, the first two seasons, but understanding the mechanics of how this show is written and how the aspect of what they're trying to accomplish with bringing in a brand new cast, mm-hmm. I liked having the idea of John Lithgow, who played Churchill in the first two seasons, kind of be that connective tissue for both casts.
Agreed.
And him passing on passing the torch to the new cast. So it's an interesting thing to talk about. It's an interesting choice that Morgan makes when he's writing this episode, only because I just feel like he deserves a whole ton more. And part of why I really liked why and how they kind of chose to do the Churchill death, mm-hmm. is to show you how alone Elizabeth really is now.
Oh, yeah.
They make it a distinctive point.
Where are her kids?
Yeah, right? Like, where's Charles? Where is everybody?
That would have given me a better idea of how old she was.
But, you know, regardless, like, I still feel like Elizabeth is alone in this world that she's got now. Churchill's gone. That's her mentor. That's someone she looked up to. And the opening shots of the show, and when she is getting ready for his funeral, she is there in that room wearing mm-hmm. black, alone. There's no one there to help her. Prince Philip is off doing his own thing, whatever, and that is it. Is that the sense you got from Elizabeth in this episode too?
I felt that way all this time.
Okay.
Elizabeth is very alone. You know, she's figuring this all out and doesn't necessarily have the best marriage nor the best sister to bounce things off of, or, you know, and her mom's just like freaking cloud nine all the time.
Like,
it's okay, honey.
It's fine.
Oh my gosh.
Another scene that really stuck out to me, and it I think it plays on the nature of what?
I just picture the Queen Mother. She's the one that sits and watches the Hallmark Christmas movies all day. You gotta watch this new show I saw. It's called Christmas with a View. It's fantastic. It'll get your mind off the commies. Christmas with a View.
It's
on Netflix.
Another scene that really stood out to me, which plays, I think, on the mythological nature of the English crown, is that scene when Harold Wilson is finally elected as prime minister, and he's the first Labour Party prime minister mm-hmm. under Queen Elizabeth's rule. So she has to deal with that too. And we're going to unpin this conversation okay. in a minute. But he is prepared when he first walks in to that room to be like, you will step in, you take two steps. If she gives her hand, you yep. shake it. You do not make small talk. There's that great moment of, this is bigger than you.
Yeah.
This woman is much bigger than you, and you have to accept that. And even the way that he speaks to her, too, is like, yeah, you probably would have been a lot happier with the Conservative Party, wouldn't you? I almost thought that she was going to be like, what? Like, who are you?
I liked that he did that.
I kind of like that, too.
It felt like that was like a little Boston.
It definitely was. It was.
You probably wanted the other guy.
But guess what?
You stuck with me.
You got me now. How do you like me now?
How do you like them apples?
Do you like apples? So let's unpin that conversation here a little bit. With the Communist Party and the commie fearing, the whole thing. At this point in time, again, this is the first Labour Party prime minister under Elizabeth's rule.
What is the Labour Party?
The Labour Party is like the Democratic Party in the United States.
The current Democratic Party or the previous Democratic Party? Because don't you find it interesting that the Democrats and Republicans flip-flopped it being liberal and conservative?
Well, yeah, back in the 1800s, they flip-flopped.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, England's had a much longer history, and they have different
parties. Well, they've had
parties.
Many different parties. So yeah. Then right now, the Labour Party. It's not, you know, right now.
But I mean, is the Labour Party meaning liberal?
Yes, they're okay. Very liberal, and they really believe in unions and the whole thing, and the unionization, and coming together with the rest of the United Kingdom, even the European Union.
Okay.
They're the ones who kind of put that all together. And they are so far left, they're almost leaning socialist, which would be communism. Well, communism is the next step after socialism. But what I'm saying is they're far left. And they're as far left as, let's say, for in today's world, President Trump is far right. Okay?
Okay.
And dealing with that kind of flavor in the political system is hard for Queen Elizabeth because she's only been used to the Conservative Party.
Wait, are you saying that he's far right, like the needle is moved incredibly far?
Like he is as far left as President Trump is as far right.
Do you mean Mike Pence?
Yeah, but again, it's different. So
okay.
there is this world where.
But you're just saying as incredibly conservative as the
no,
leader.
He is liberal.
I know.
Harold Wilson is the leader of the Labour Party. He is very liberal.
Okay.
Okay, so he's left. Okay, let's put it that way. He's left.
Yes.
And then you have other Churchill was conservative.
Okay.
He was far right.
Okay.
Okay, so now they have two opposing sides.
Okay.
Diametrically opposed.
Foes.
That a girl. So.
Can we not bring Trump into this equation?
Fine. I totally understand.
You're blowing me away. Okay.
So, yes, it's 1964. The Cold War is happening. And Britain is falling in its dominance. And there's even this great note when the MI5 agent is saying to the Queen, yeah, we really shouldn't let this thing out with Anthony Blunt out because we have already are falling in the world's view. And we don't have that much credibility with the Americans anymore. So we can't let them know. So, yes, the communism is fully rampant.
Why are they embarrassed if the Americans know that they were fools? Because like they already knew. Someone in the U.S. told them.
Yes.
That your art person. So like guys.
Well, the guy went to the CIA and said, "I have this information."
Yeah, that someone close to the royal household. Is, you know.
Yeah, but the Americans at that point don't necessarily know it's either true or false. They're passing along the information as an act of goodwill.
Okay.
They're just like the guy didn't name any names with the Americans. He just said, "This is what I know," a high-ranking official. So yeah, communism is there and people are scared of it.
And you're just saying, why are they embarrassed? Was MI5 embarrassed?
Because they're already on the decline. As a nation, like in terms of power, they don't want to seem like they're inept. They don't want to seem like their world is collapsing. You know what I mean?
Jelly bean.
So that's that. Got anything else for this episode, my darling? Anything else you want to chat about?
I was hoping that she was old and I'd get to see Princess Diana.
I don't think we're gonna see Diana till season 4. I don't think we're gonna see her at all. Because what, Diana comes into the picture in the early 80s.
Probably when she's in her 50s.
Yeah, because she was born in 26. So 76, she'd be 50. So she'd probably be in her early 50s when Diana comes in.
Well, the good news is that I will have a night or two to refresh and come into this show with a different mind.
We're gonna have a nice reset.
Helena Bonham Carter threw me off.
All right, so is that all? Is that all for now?
Yes.
All right, let's close this bad boy out.
Well, I had a lot of fun.
I had some fun too.
I want to go have some tea.
Maybe some crumpets.
Maybe pet a corgi.
Remember, guys, do the vote if you want the corgi or cups of tea ratings. We will listen to you. We will go along with what you want.
Hopefully
you enjoyed this episode of Keep Calm and Crown On with Mary and Blake. Make sure you check us out on maryandblake.com, where you can see all of our podcasts, including our Rise Up podcast, which is about Hamilton, and also This Is Us 2, which is a show about This Is Us. It's currently on break, which is why we're doing The Crown right now. And also Outlander cast, the North remembers. We got more friggin' podcasts than you can control. So it's and blogs and Handmaid's Tale. We got it all.
We got it all, guys. So thank you so much for listening and for encouraging us to podcast about this show. We love it. We love history. We love Tobias Menzies, as you know. So we're here for the long run. As for now, ladies and gentlemen.
Before we do that.
Oh, what?
I just got to call out the Tobias Menzies. Oh, when he's about to call out the art guy, and he's like, yeah, you suck, dude. Like, I was ready for, like, a straight-on good Tobias Menzies moment.
You ready for him to pick him up by his jacket and throw him over the balcony?
I was waiting for, like a little bit of blackjack to come out, you know, just to sneak out a little bit.
Yeah.
But then he got completely owned. Got completely friggin' owned by commie guy. So I look forward to seeing what Tobias does with this episode. I can't wait.
With this whole season.
Oh, yeah, this season.
For the next 2 years.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. All right, guys. For now, my name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
Keep calm and crown on.
Can-Can, over 50 years of endless deals. Find endless deals at ShopRite's Can-Can sale. Going on now. You can't miss it. Go, 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 go.